Hello, good day everyone. Welcome to another episode of Magic the First Pioneers Podcast. This is a podcast all about the Pioneer format, where we keep our listeners up to date with what is new, interesting, and powerful in the world of Pioneer. I am joined here by my co-host. My name's Gunn Finkel, and you are?
Somebody who will not be named. No, I'm Ryan. I'm coming at you live from the Tokyo area of Japan. I'm hoping to talk about some Pioneer today.
Does it mess you up that I don't ever do our intro quite the same way?
That's fine.
Yeah, I know you always remind me when I don't remember to put my name in there, so I had to slip that in at the end, and then it makes things complicated.
I'm fine being the only well-known personality on this podcast.
Yeah, I like to blend into the background. I'm just there. I'm the analysis guy. I'm the numbers guy. I'm your... I don't remember anyone from the movie Moneyball's name, because I don't remember anybody's name ever, but I'm
the big guy?
The knockoff Seth Rogen.
Jonah Hill.
Jonah Hill. There we go. I'm Jonah Hill. All right. So we're being a little less serious here. That's probably because we do not have a guest joining us for this week. A little bit of a change up for you guys, it seems, with the way that we've been running lately. A lot of great guests been on our show. Guys, if you haven't been listening, I think we've had some fantastic content coming out, and we're hoping to continue that this week. You want to go ahead and introduce the topic?
Yeah. So basically, you know, we've had a lot of the, you know, Pioneer 101 podcasts in the past, and you know, we've also had a lot of good people talking about the metagame recently. So this is kind of like a review episode, kind of like when you in those anime, you know, like what's happened over the last, you know, 20 episodes or so to get you caught up to speed. So today we're gonna talk about how to beat the top decks in the formats. You know, we've had the bans, you know, out for a while now, and it looks like the metagame is settling. And now everyone's like, okay, you know, these decks, you know, are really popular, but I can't beat it. So today we're
finding some decks they like. Yeah, I think this is good, and that's a good setup for the topic. Just, you know, a nice meta review, I think, would be perfect for us, as well as, you know, just haven't really done something like this in a little while. You know, we've been talking about more of the, like, rogue decks coming up. Mm-hmm. We've been talking about some various things, but it would be nice to just kind of go over what are the big decks right now, what to expect from them, and how to beat them. So let's go ahead and jump into it.
I mean, do you want to just do like five?
Here's kind of how I wanted to paraphrase it, maybe, is that, you know, I liked how you were sending me, you were saying like, hey, what does aggro in this format look like? What does mid-range in this format look like? I wouldn't mind looking at it in that way, you know, kind of go, you know, the paradigms I usually see are like aggro, mid-range, control, combo, and then maybe like ramp or tempo or sometimes fruits.
So you just want to go through each archetype and then kind of discuss like which decks you'll have to look out for in that archetype?
Yeah, so let's go ahead and start off with aggro, I think. Makes a lot of sense to me.
So mono black aggro is probably the biggest one.
I think that's definitely kind of overtaken as the aggro of the choice. So this is something I'd love to see, because I know that when we saw the bans happen, we were worried, because at the time burn was maybe first or second most played deck in the format. Mm-hmm. So we were worried that it would, you know, it wasn't seeing any bans. Would it just continue to rise? And I feel like that's not what we've seen. So we'll definitely talk about burn. I think that burn in some different flavors as well is still around. Mm-hmm. But mono black aggro has kind of taken its spot as the highest meta share recently.
I think it's like 6% or something now.
Yeah, it depends on what you're looking at. You know, I'm on MTG Goldfish right now. I'm looking at the last 2 weeks only, because that gives kind of the really up-to-date data. They're at about 8.5% there.
Yeah.
And that's not including vampires, which is another 3-4%.
So that's like another... I would kind of say it's kind of a variant of mono black. It plays, of course, the creature, you know, package is different, but, you know, as far as, like, you know, all the other black cards, you know, you're probably going to be playing Fatal Push, and you're probably going to be playing, you know, Thoughtseize and stuff like that, so.
You know, it's Fatal Push, it's Thoughtseize. I think that one of the best things I've heard recently is when we had Ekros on the show, I think it was. You know, he said, like, don't be playing a deck right now that loses to Fatal Push and Thoughtseize, because those decks just aren't going to be able to compete, not when there's mono black doing so well, not when there's vampires doing so well, not when Rakdos, you know, Rakdos is in a little bit of a downturn, but it is still doing extremely well. So I think that that's kind of a big takeaway if you guys are paying attention is, hey, are you playing Fatal Push and Thoughtseize? Are you weak against Fatal Push and Thoughtseize? Are you built to beat Fatal Push and Thoughtseize? You know, there are some decks that are good against them.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing is like a lot of people are just playing Fatal Push and Thoughtseize, and the one of the biggest questions for Pioneer right now is how do we beat Fatal Push and Thoughtseize? I don't think there is a clear idea yet on how to beat that 1-2 combo. You can agree to disagree if you want.
Yeah, there's some variety. I think that, you know, some of the more mid-range decks certainly have ways to.
Yeah,
we'll discuss some of those ways.
So any other... I mean, I guess, would you consider, like, black-white auras or maybe, like, the red-white heroic deck to be aggro decks as well?
Yes, and there is one more that I would fit into aggro that is definitely on the downturn, which is Spirits. Been seeing a lot less Spirits lately, actually.
I think Spirits is more tempo. If we were going to do like a tempo discussion.
Yeah, if we're going to give a tempo category, then that definitely fits under tempo.
Yeah.
But what I did want to kind of point out, let's also quick just go over Burn. You know, Burn hasn't changed much. Mono Black hasn't changed much. That's why we didn't go over these very much. You know, kind of the same core of Mono Black, really the same core of White Red Lurrus Burn. Mm-hmm. We are seeing some more mono red Burn, which I think is very cool. You know, some of them are eschewing Lurrus, of course, getting to be able to play Bone Crusher instead. I haven't been seeing them go as big as playing things like Torbran, but maybe like the Hijinal Hazoret or like the sideboard Chandra's we see coming in.
I mean, that would be the next step. That would be like if the meta really changed to hate it out, then I would see it switching to those types of cards.
Yeah, so Burn kind of sits in a category of its own where it really, really only has the one game plan. I think, you know, the white-red at least has a disruptive plan by playing Eidolon, you know, making your opponent take pain for every kind of answer they're playing. Mm-hmm. But I do think that red is, in some ways, the only, like, I'm just going to do nothing but run at your face and kill you. Even these mono-black decks, you know, they are about having a lot of ways to come back. The Spirits deck, yeah, like I said, it is more of a tempo deck, but has a lot of ways to disrupt. I think, you know, Thoughtseize is also a way for a lot of these decks to disrupt. Vampires gets to cheat on mana by playing in 5-drop Vampires or, you know, just getting value out of Sorin.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that a lot of these decks are becoming a little bit more of a disruptive aggro, and I think that's really interesting. So that's a bit where we're seeing some meta changes, that aggro is not super linear. You know, you're not going to beat any of these aggro decks just by putting one sweeper into your deck. You're going to need a little bit more specified interaction. You're going to need a lot of early interaction, so you know, don't be taking turn one, turn two off. That, you know, I don't think that's ever been a very viable plan in Pioneer, but really you have to at least be able to reliably do something turn one, turn two. You know, not maybe not both, but at least one of those
one two. More deck that I think might kind of be related to aggro is Nioh Enoda. What do you think? Is that more of a
tempo deck? I wanted to count that in combo.
Okay,
almost.
It's in combo. Okay, creature combo. Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of blurred lines, I think, in Pioneer right now, and I think that you can run decks in different ways where they do blur that line. But for me, Winota's almost one of those, like, you know, linear game plan. It has a goal, and it's going to do it very well and very fast, and unless if you've got something that can disrupt that, which not a lot of decks do, then that's going to be able to run you over. And I think that, you know, it certainly has bad matchups, but in some ways it does a very good job of answering those decks that are weak to combo-like decks.
So what you're saying, like, if you play a sideboard that is good against aggro against Winota, it doesn't work as well?
It doesn't necessarily work as well, yeah. You know, and especially with some of the things they have. You know, often Seeker's Chariot's coming in there.
Okay.
You know, if you're trying to answer one-for-one with removal, you're going to be running into things like the... what is the 2-drop? Voice of Resurgence.
Yeah.
I always have to look that card up for some reason.
That's
can never
a good anti-control card. So, you know,
Antifa.
You had talked a little bit about Spirits. I put Spirits more like in the tempo disruption type of deck. It plays really differently. It can go full aggro against like the slower decks, but it can also really be a pain in the butt for... you know, maybe more mid-rangey decks or other kind of fair decks, I would say.
Yeah, I do think so. Like, it certainly makes sense to play there. They do a lot of racing. You know, Spirits is kind of just, hey, I'm unblockable with everything I do. I'm going to play one or two counter spells, and that's going to kill you.
Mm-hmm. And I think, I think there's a couple more disruption decks. I mean, the big one, of course, is...
Is what? What are you going with here?
Because we had a guest on repeatedly to talk about this deck. Trying to get you to...
Are you calling Pyromancer?
Yeah, I would say Pyromancer's a really big disruption deck. There's a lot of... There's Thoughtseize and Kroxa.
It's certainly a disruptive deck. It's not a tempo deck, though, I wouldn't say.
No, not a tempo, but it's a disruption deck. I'm kind of putting these two together as in they mess up your game. You know, when you have to get rid of half of your hand, it really messes up your lines of play and, you know, your strategy.
Yeah, I have a hard time exactly placing where Pyromancer fits in. You know, it does get some advantages from going quickly, but it also, you know, it has no problem calling Lurrus, waiting to rebirth Kroxa. Mm-hmm. Like, I almost want to say, like, oh yeah, it's a control deck. It's the control deck of the format, but I don't know if that quite fits. It's almost there. It's kind of a weird place. And like I said, there are some blurred lines. Like, I know a lot of people, I've seen a lot of people saying, like, hey, is Niv to Light a control deck? Is it a mid-range deck? Is it a what? I almost want to, you know, blur another line here by doing something weird. After having a, sorry, I should really remember what guest it was we had on. Who was it on that was talking about Mono Green Planeswalkers?
Oh, that was Dreams of Ashiok.
Right, that was Dreams of Ashiok.
Comments, I believe.
I almost want to call that deck a tempo deck. You know, the way that he put it to me has really changed my mind on how to look at the gameplay of the Mono Green deck playing. Mm-hmm. They're really about snowballing an advantage. You know, they have very little as far as answering threats. They have very little of disruption. So, like, you know, they're definitely not a control deck. They're not answering their opponent's board. They're not a mid-range deck. They're not just playing, like, high-powered cards that are going to win the game. They're really just a tempo deck. They're trying to play out their board faster than the opponent, mm-hmm. and they're using the fact that they have lots of ways to ramp on mana and then difficult-to-answer threats in the form of Planeswalkers as their win con here.
Yeah.
So it is weird to call, you know, a deck built around 5 and 6 drops a... tempo deck, but I think that's really almost where Mono Green fits, and I think that if you're looking at Mono Green, it's a great place to try and think about how you're playing the matchups. You know, don't bring in your, like, 5 mana answers to a Planeswalker might not be good enough. You know, if you're, like, an Elsa's Best Conquers Death, might not be what you're looking for if you're trying to go as far as tempo. Maybe you're, you know, better off putting in a shock or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Disrupt early and stop them from ever getting off the ground.
I will say, you know, we've heard the same thing, though, is that, you know, Fatal Push and Thoughtseize are both really good against Mono Green mid-range. That is why
they have,
like,
8 dorks, right?
Yeah, they're on a pretty significant downturn, and that's really why.
One more deck that I think can kind of maybe go in the Tempos Disruption type camp is the new Jund Sacrifice deck. What do you think? Is that aggro? Is that
so
tempo?
Let me think. I don't think it's tempo. You know, if you took a turn off against Jund, I don't think you're in a hugely different position than if you were, you know, like if you're play versus draw versus Jund, I don't feel like that's a huge difference in that matchup.
So,
you know, they're not trying to snowball. They're not trying to disrupt the opponent from killing their threats.
Is it combo,
they kind of
then?
Just have, it's probably closer to combo. You know, they're not answering things. You know, they're playing things that are difficult to answer, and then they're asking their opponent to have the right answers, and they can always kind of just win by playing a 6-drop that often wins the game when you cast it. And additionally, I think that what's really cool about Jund, and, you know, we haven't had someone on to talk about the deck specifically that I know of.
you know, I don't think so.
It's been a long week. It's been a long few weeks for me. What I really like about the deck is that they do get to bring in Korvold in pretty much every matchup. They turn into a Korvold deck. So Graveyard Hate's not that good against Jund. Yeah, let's go into Jund on a little bit, because I think that's a deck that deserves definitely some big focus. You know, it's been popular. Finished some really big challenges at the winning spot. And I think that people underestimate or don't understand the right ways to fight against this deck. So we're talking about how to beat the top decks of the meta. Let's jump into
Jund. Yeah, it got really big right after the bannings, right?
Yeah, definitely. So, if you're bringing in Leyline, if you're bringing in Lantern, if you're bringing in Rest in Peace, those are medium against this deck. You know, especially I think the Lantern.
I would say Cage is probably better.
Cage is definitely good. So Cage prevents them from using Bull Citadel to do things. It prevents them from using Collected Company to do mm-hmm. things. Cage is definitely better. Not 100% perfect, but it's definitely better. Lantern's definitely the weakest. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't bring all that much stuff back from their graveyard, so getting rid of the graveyard doesn't matter that much. Rest in Peace and Leyline, at the very least, what they do is they stop death triggers. Yeah. So it stops Cat if they're reversion running Cat. It stops death triggers, which is mostly Zulaport Cutthroat and the like Scry triggers on Catacomb mm-hmm, Sifter. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't stop Mayhem Devil, and more importantly, it doesn't stop Korvold, which is usually what their sideboard plan is. So I've seen lists that will often take out their Zulaport Cutthroat, put in Korvold, and if you're running Rest in Peace, like, that's not doing anything in that situation. So I do think you have to be cognizant of what you have in this matchup. Ways to stop Sacrifice are fantastic. You know, Kalidus does a huge amount because he, absolutely. I don't hate when I've seen, the Black God from the latest set?
Black God, Turgrid.
I think is, you know, mildly reasonable. He punishes Sacrifice.
I don't know. I think it's she.
Yeah, not sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's a fun card, but I think it's a little bit too slow. I think Kalidus is probably a little bit better in that matchup. Maybe even, I mean, I know no one's playing Abzan anymore, but Anafenza.
Yeah, that wouldn't really do too much, I don't think.
Whenever,
you know, they can still cast things, they can still sacrifice things for Mayhem Devil.
But if you wanted to still have like a way to attack, a way to put pressure on and still not have to worry about... You know those cards coming back.
Probably better things you can do.
Yeah, Absinthe's not that good. Sorry, we want it to be good, but it's never good.
You can play Kunoros instead.
Maybe. There we go. I've seen someone actually playing Kunoros. I think that was in the main deck of the Niv-Mizzet decks.
Hmm. Yeah, I've got a version in main deck of Enigmatic, I think.
So I would put like Jund Sacrifice and Naya Winota kind of together in like they're both creature based combo ish decks.
Yeah, I think that's probably more reasonable.
So what about other straight combo decks? Do we need to worry?
Well, I was gonna say, where do you put dragons? Just because I'm thinking of, you know, we were talking about disruptive aggro. They're sometimes more controlling, but you know, if they're playing Sprite Dragon. Mm-hmm. And hasty five drops, I don't know if that's aggro. Like, is that disruptive aggro?
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's probably...
top end of tempo.
Yeah, but I mean, that's only like 1 or 2%, I think, of the...
Yeah, it's not a huge percentage. Let me see where that's showing up
lately. I would say Phoenix would be kind of... Well, Phoenix would probably be more... I don't know if that's kind of combo or...
I'm seeing like 2.5%-ish.
Yeah. People are all playing those. I don't know if those are actually going to stay. That's the thing. I don't think they're going to stick around. They're just
so true combo. I don't know if it's gonna stay. True combo. Lotus combo, I think, is where we definitely still see some true combo.
It's totally lost. I mean, it's lost so much of its metagame percentage. I think it's down to like 2% again.
Yeah, I think that it's there's a lot of things that disrupt it right now. A lot of the hate that beats it is around, and it's just kind of it's such a clunky deck the way that it's playing right now.
Yeah. So maybe in the future it could be good again, but yeah. We always said like if you don't respect it, you're gonna die to it. So everyone's
Well, personally, I don't think don't put what is the card? Don't put Damping Spheres in your deck right now. Yeah. I don't think that's worth it.
Yeah, I agree. So we have aggro tempo combo. Should we talk about control? Are there any control decks out there?
I think let's talk mid range. Okay. First. Because I think that there's plenty that kind of fits into mid-range, and kind of the daddy of that is everything. Yeah. All of these kind of multicolor. You know, we thought multicolor was dead when everything was Omnath, Uro decks, Uro, Teferi, Omnath decks. Now we're really getting kind of these toolboxy decks that are built to, you know, they don't have a lot of hits against opponent fatal pushes. They've got a lot of inherent 2-for-1s or more than that. Often they're going off of the power of Tybalt, especially with ways to cheat them out, like Bring to Light. And just kind of being the boss daddy of all mid-range. You know, we were kind of saying, like, hey, you're not going to be able to play your Siege Rhinos. You're not going to be able to play Chonky Red. Those aren't going to live up when you can still drop a Niv Niv-Mizzet and draw four cards.
Yeah, so like, I think there's kind of like two ways to, you know, the two different versions, the Niv-Mizzet and the Enigma version. Niv-Mizzet, straight Niv-Mizzet is just drawing you so many cards. Like, it's built to draw you so many cards. And then the Enigma one is like, you don't have to play as many cards to still be able to put a threat on the board or to get your board developed. So you don't have to waste as many. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think that the big difference there is that the Enigma deck has a lot more early interaction, actually. Mm-hmm. You know, they can often play a play set of Chain to the Rocks. They can play a play set of the Black Sacrifice. Mm-hmm. What is it?
Yeah. The Cartouche of something? Maybe? No.
I think it's actually the Trial of Ambition. Okay, Trial of Ambition. Okay. That's the one.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, Niv-Mizzet, Enigma. Those are, I think, are the big mid-range decks.
So let's talk about how to beat those. Cause I think that's something that people are really wondering. Is like, what's the best way to get underneath these decks? Are you trying to go around them? What's your plan?
I mean,
you trying to bring in targeted hate?
I mean, I was gonna talk about that a little bit later, but you know, if you want to, yeah, we could do that now. I think. It's one of the hardest decks for me to get to wrap my mind around. I've told Claudio this is like a galaxy brain deck, you know, and it's like, I just don't really, I know it's good. I know how it works. I just don't know how to disrupt it. Cause I feel like if I take away one card with Thoughtseize, something else will kill me. Or if I use, you know, like some kind of exile effect for, you know, like their whole, you know, like to get all four copies or something, something else is still going to kill me. You know what I mean?
Hmm.
It's just like Simic decks.
So I do think that disruption is still effective. I think that, you know, Thought Seizes can be good. Counterspells can be good if you're representing a clock. So you need to have kind of the clock plus counterspell combination. You know, especially anything that can... I think so. Let's make sure we're talking about the two different decks here. You know, the Niv-Light, I feel like they've got a little bit more of a consistent plan. You know, they're trying to hit the five mana and then answer everything by playing Niv or Bring to Light, usually with their big sweepers there. The Enigmatic deck, I think that you really kind of need to hit, like, their one to two key cards that they're going to naturally draw. Mm-hmm. So, like, if you can counter their Fire's Invention, especially on turn four or turn five, that can be enough to put them off the game. Or if you can counter their Enigmatic. And the Enigmatic is the more important of the two if it's really either or.
So I guess the reason why I can't think of any ways to beat the Niv-Mizzet Enigmatic deck is because control is the best way to beat it. And I don't think control.
I don't think control is the best way to beat it.
You don't think so?
I think I think you absolutely need to be representing a
clock. Well, how about the tempo decks? You know, clock. Like something like Spirits.
I think tempo decks. Yeah, I think absolutely Spirits. If you can, especially if you can run something, you know, like I was saying, focus on play a Disdainful Stroke, play a something like that. That's going to you know, the Lofty Denials
Mystical,
are quite good.
What was it?
Mystical Dispute. You want to be careful with. So like, play something that's not just blue. Well, I was going to say not just Spellqueller. You know, make sure you've got an actual counter for these four and five mana plays that they're going to try and drop.
Yeah. A Disdainful Stroke, I think, is good.
Yeah, and, you know, I've seen the control matchup quite a bit, and I just don't think that it works at all. You know, they really, there's too many 2-for-1s, 3-for-1s, 4-for-1s in the Niv to Light deck and in the Enigmatic deck. I think that that's just not at all a good strategy to be trying to beat that.
So Niv-Mizzet, Enigma, and you were talking earlier about the Mono Green Planeswalkers deck, and I think that's kind of in the mid-range to ramp.
Yeah, it could be in the mid-range. I think that we could also count Pyromancer kind of in the mid-range. And let's not forget, you know, we talked about these decks last week, that there are quite a variety of other kind of Valky slash whatever decks that are, you know, finding ways to bring to light when they're not a five-color deck, or they're finding ways to flicker them. In order to put them into play. So those decks are also in that category of kind of controlling mid-range top end, of doing something a little bit unfair with their mid-range, which I think is what you kind of have to do.
Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, and, you know, those can be tough, too. You know, it's tough to... Mid-range is always tough to answer because they're built to have the best cards, so you need to be consistently faster than them or consistently have the right answers, and both of those things are intentionally difficult.
Were there any other mid-range decks you think we should worry about, or should we move into control?
Let me go through what we're missing here. Yeah, more Yorian decks. I think that like some of the other Yorian decks. Yeah, I mean the biggest Yorian deck right now is probably the Enigmatic that we've been seeing. Some versions of Niv-to-Light still. I think that you can play like a classic Jeskai Fires. Mm-hmm. I saw Corey Bionister pushing that. I don't know how well that did yet. I haven't gotten to watch it yet. Yeah, that's about it.
Then I think the last archetype then that we need to talk about is the control decks.
Yeah, and I don't feel like there's a lot of control right now. So I definitely think you can play control. Control. The two flavors I've seen the most of are like blue-black or blue-white. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're very good. I think the blue-black's probably a little better. I just don't think either of them is very good. I think that they really struggle into Thoughtseize, especially like Thoughtseize plus something else disruptive.
Isn't there like a five-color control out there now that's kind of the Yorion build?
Yeah, yeah. Those I count a little bit more mid-range because okay. They're not running a whole slew of counter spells, slew of
so it's not a traditional one.
Removal spells.
Yeah. And Jeskai Fires, I guess that fits in with all the Niv-Mizzet decks as well then, right? Like even if they're not playing Niv-Mizzet. Yeah, yeah. Like the Transmogrify deck.
Let's talk how to beat control though, just because let's make sure. So, looking at blue-white, looking at blue-black. So what do you want to do if you're trying to beat these decks?
Blue-white or blue-black, you want to get something that sticks and attack early on as fast as possible while disrupting any kind of response to it, right?
Yeah, yeah, and I think really the biggest thing is you don't want to be beaten by one-for-one-ing. That's their goal, is to be able to one-for-one and then, get something like a dig through time mm-hmm. or just, like, build a big shark typhoon, maybe get value over multiple turns from a planeswalker or a torrential gearhulk. And, it's tough to do that, I think, personally. I'm not big on control right now. I think that, people are certainly playing it, and I like when control is good. I just don't think that right now. I think that right now there's a lot better decks than the more mid-range that can still play this game.
Yeah, yeah. No, real quick, though, we didn't talk about Jeskai Fires, the Transmogrify deck. Is that kind of in mid-range as well, or is that kind of a control?
Yeah. So I brought that up. That's what I was saying by Jeskai Fires. Okay. I think that is a little bit more mid-range. It's, not quite combo, not quite mid-range. It's kind of a, it has answers, but it doesn't have, like, universal answers.
Yeah, okay. It still wants to do something fast and quick, like, the other mid-range decks, so that...
Something like that.
Start taking just control there.
Through what else has been popular. I have seen, I'm surprised to see this, just looking again at MTG Goldfish last, I'm on 30 days now. Let me see if it still sticks around if I go to 14 days. Oh, it looks like it disappeared. Oh, no, not entirely. There's like black-red. I've been seeing some black-red mid-range. That was something I was trying to push early on is, Kroxa decks. Mm-hmm. Other than Lurrus Kroxa with, the traditional Rakdos Pyromancer. I think that there are some builds that go bigger.
Yeah.
Play things like Chandra or Hazoret in the main deck. Get to play Bone Crusher in the main deck. And just be a little bit bigger.
Yeah, just to get around all the fatal pushes and the other small removals, right? All the removal for the small stuff. But I feel like the biggest problem with the black-red mid-range decks is that they're really lacking on any way to gain a lot of card advantage. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, with green, look at the other junt, the Citadel deck. I mean, just it draws so many cards because, I don't know if it's playing Village Rites, but, Sifter and other ways to manipulate your deck and things like that. So there needs to be something other than Chandra that's helping black-red kind of draw a lot of cards.
Yeah,
And not Obnixilis.
There's Chandra.
There's really nothing Tybalt. Else. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of
you kind of want to, you can splash green and blue and play Tybalt, and that might work.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. I guess, I'm not going to talk about it. It's too janky. I mean, red has, the stuff that brings stuff back from the graveyard. Like the Goblin Dark Dwellers and stuff like that. Maybe that's the way to go to kind of get card advantage. Or maybe Grixis. Maybe. Grixis we haven't seen a lot of either, so maybe that's the way to go. But anyways.
Hey, I have been saying, if you do want to beat those control decks, don't play something like a 5-drop as your one source of card advantage, because that will get a counter spell.
Yeah.
Play a, whatever they've got it to here. Rick's Mighty Reveler to draw three cards.
There you go.
Yeah, I think, you know, I would certainly be playing Black Red right now. It's a archetype I love. It's one of my favorite archetypes, but I don't have the Kroxas and the Tybalts and the, you know, the Goldspan Dragons and the Kalidas that I would really need. So
I have historic.
I'm not playing that right now.
I have them in historic. I can play it in historic, basically.
Yeah, there you go.
So do you want to move on to, like, best sideboard cards?
Sure. Yeah, let's go ahead.
So,
because yeah, I think this is a great conversation.
So, like, just let's just go. You know, you do one, I'll do one, and then we'll talk about when you'll play them. When would you set them in against what kind of deck?
So, graveyard cards, graveyard hate. I just want to kind of go through the variety. I think Lantern is still maybe your best option if you're a Lurrus deck yourself, mm-hmm. because it doesn't hit your own graveyard, and you can rebuy it with Lurrus for value. Mm-hmm. Obviously, though, like I was saying, some of the decks are specifically preying. Yeah, preying is the right word. Preying on that, like Jund's Citadel, is not really affected very much by that. So I wouldn't make it your only answer to that deck if you're playing one of those archetypes.
Of course, Grafdigger's Cage is another way to stop the graveyard decks.
Yeah, Grafdigger's Cage has a fair bit of variety. You know, I'm surprised I've been seeing so much Grafdigger's Cage and not the 2-mana one, the Weathered Sea Stone or something like that. What is it called?
Yeah, I think that's what it's called, and then the one that stops
Weathered
all permanents.
Something Stone. Rune Stone, I want to say. Weathered Rune Stone, let's call it that. Just because of the Enigmatic Incarnation decks, mm-hmm. I think that it's useful to be able to stop the playing of those as well. Unfortunately, neither of them works against Niv-to-Light, you know, or Niv-Miz. Bring to life specifically.
Because a lot of those ones, when anything that exiles and then puts into play is not really going to stop.
Yeah, yeah. So it doesn't work against, I don't know, something random.
What else? What other anti-graveyard stuff? I would say Calatis is a really good card to bring in against those graveyard decks. Like you were talking about earlier, how it totally stops, you know, those death triggers.
Yeah, it's great against the sacrifice decks particularly. Mm-hmm.
There's a couple more.
And, you know, that has play against aggro. I think it's certainly playable there. It's great against any of the aura strategies.
Mm-hmm. Anything else? I mean, I have a couple more if you can't think of any.
You know, I still think, like, there's, if you're in green, it does not hurt to play the Skooze. He certainly has play still. In some ways, you know, it does seem like it's less important to exile the opponent's entire graveyard like it was when we had Oops All Spells around. So things like a Skooze where you're targeting the important spells might be good.
Especially if everyone's running like K-Commands and other ways to destroy artifacts these days, Skooze might actually be better in those situations.
Yeah, I mean, those black decks will have Fatal Push, but there's reasons for that, yeah. And that's also a reason why something like Rest in Peace, if you can afford to play it, is kind of nice because it, you know, like black-red deck has a lot of problems with that. Yeah. They don't really feel like they're going to bring in an enchantment hate card just for that one.
I mean, I think who was saying, maybe Martin was saying it last time, or maybe we both said it, that Pioneer is kind of the format for enchantments. Like, you're going to see a lot more enchantment-based decks and enchantment-based hate cards maybe that are necessary than you would in any other format.
Probably, yeah, more than any other format. We are the enchantment deck. Okay, they are. Let's start. I don't know. How can I advertise ourselves as being the enchantment format?
Yeah.
And that's a good call. I do think that's very true.
So I think that covers most of the graveyard shenanigan type cards. How about like anti-aggro cards? You want to do those next?
Yeah, so I mean, you want removal. You do want sweepers. I don't feel like there's a lot of decks right now that are like, you need a sweeper or a bust. Like in the past when mono white has been good, mm-hmm. when elves has been good, it's like, okay, you need a sweeper or there's no other way to answer these decks. I do think that because most of the aggro decks are kind of disruptive, you know, burn plays a few creatures and then tries to get through a lot of points of burn. Spirits, you know, sweepers are nice against spirits, but maybe not the most important thing. But it doesn't feel like it's a, hey, put four Supreme Verdict in your sideboard is the only answer. Mm-hmm. Sweepers are good, especially something that can exile. You know, I like Extinction Event. I like Shadow's Verdict. Mm-hmm. I like Anger of the Gods. Those, for me, I like a little bit more than just a sweeper.
I think Yeah, I think Shadow's Verdict, we had talked about before, about that being like one of the best cards. Maybe I think Amit was talking about that when we were first going over like the new Kaldheim format. And I think it continues to be good. And I know a couple decks, I believe something like Blue-Black Control is definitely playing like two in the sideboard. I like it better than Extinction Event now, just to be honest, because it hits everything. Like you said, Anger of the Gods is also good. And Cry of the Carnarium for those decks that just want to sack everything to try to get, you know, away from the exile effect. It still exiles. So I think that's deserves a shout out. What about other, like, you know, not sweepers, but like a more pinpoint or, you know, surgical removal spells?
Yeah, I'd say bring them in. You know, I see Magma Spray as a nice sideboard card when you're a red deck trying to answer some of those early strategies. You know, just to be able to kill things that are, you know, it kills any of the elves and they don't come back. Kills most of what Mono Black has, they won't come back. You definitely want to be doing the two damage where possible. I think that we used to see more of like Spikefield Hazard, and I think that's fallen off some. But yeah, Magma Spray is a great place to go just to be able to hit something for sure in red early on. I do also still like, if you're a white deck, play the Chain of the Rocks, you know, early. Surprisingly, white has removal, but only if you're tied to red.
Yeah, I mean, some people are still playing Isolate. I'm not sure if that's the right idea.
I don't think that's a card that you want to be playing anymore. I don't, you know, that was a card specifically being played just for the, like, the Auras matchup.
Yeah.
That was a very big deck. And it was good enough against Mono Red that you could bring in Ura.
Mono Black maybe as well.
Yeah, reasonable against Mono Black, but I don't think that has enough targets where you'll be bringing it in regularly.
Now, I know Fatal Push, a lot of decks are playing that main. Are any decks playing that sideboard? Or, I mean, I think I saw some like in the Niv decks that are playing Fatal
Push. There are, yeah. So that's a big thing. You know, the Niv decks, it is nice to be able to bring them in if possible, and it is an awkward, you know, they're trying to keep up their multicolored card counts, but they would love it if they could play Fatal Push in the main. And I think that's why some people like Claudio have said that they're a little bit off the pure Niv to Light and onto more like a, you know, a Bring to Light that's just getting Falky, or a something like the Enigmatic, which used to be a Niv deck that's not specifically playing Bring to Light. Because if you don't have both of those deck building restrictions, it gives you a lot more variety. Yeah, I do think the Fatal Push in the sideboard is not bad. I also think that if you're a black deck, having removal that can hit larger things is very nice. So Blood Chief's Thirst is a great card if you're not already playing it. If you are one of the Sacrifice or the Rakdos decks, I think that playing the one Spark Harvest is nice. You know, either main or in the sideboard. Those are great cards.
I'm really surprised we're not really seeing any like Eliminates or you know, was it Heartless Act or something like that?
We see, yeah, there's a little bit of Heartless Act around. I think
that's maybe their main board. I'm saying like sideboard. It's like, you know, I think there's better stuff out there. I mean, if we're going to talk about two mana removal spells, only two that I've really seen showing up more often these days is Legion's End in black, which exiles all cards with the same name that are 2 CMC or less from.
And I think that one's really good. You know, that one does a lot.
Yeah, I mean, especially against like, you know, the blue white. Yeah, against Mono Black, but also against like the black white Auras deck, I would say, when they give cards indestructible, it still hits it. And for the bigger cards, Declaration and Stone, I still think is a good card.
Yeah, that one is a sorcery, so it's a little bit more awkward.
It's the closest.
And, you know, you don't want to be playing white.
Closest we're ever going to get to Path to Exile, sadly.
All right, let me go to a few of what have been longtime Pioneer sideboard staples, which are kind of the color hate cards. So how do you feel about Mystical Dispute right now?
I need like a one,
I'm
a one
with
off,
you. I feel
one
like
or
it's
two.
On a big,
like we said, I think
downturn.
I think, you know, like I'd rather just be playing Disdainful Stroke or something for all the big four mana cards out there. Or, you know, if I'm going to play against Control, blue deck, Negate.
That's not bad.
You know, I'd rather just have that as a more overall good card against Control. I'm fine paying that extra mana so I can use it in other situations other than just against blue.
Okay, what about Aether Gust? So that's the one of a blue for a red or green permanent or spell.
I mean, I think it's good. you know, it hits almost everything in, well, maybe not almost everything, but it hits a lot of the important cards. You know, of course, the monogreen planeswalkers it does really good against.
Yeah, so it's always been really good against monogreen planeswalkers, which is on a downtick. You know, there's no longer Uro decks everywhere. There's no longer Wilderness Reclamation mm-hmm. decks everywhere. I think that card is on a big downturn. Maybe it's reasonable. You know, it can hit a Niv.
Yeah,
it can hit a Bring to Light. Yeah. It does hit Tybalt.
Mm-hmm.
Although I don't, yeah, I mean, I guess if you're putting it back on top of their
maybe
library,
getting
that's not
rid
terrible.
Of Korvald, I'm not sure. You know, after he got huge,
I guess it does. Yeah, that seems
or Mayhem Devil,
to that
you know, bounce that back when they go to combo off.
Oh, maybe.
I don't know.
I could see it. you know, hits Collected Company in those decks.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's right. It stops. It hits the spell in the stack, right? It's like a time walk. So
that's
not bad.
That's not terrible. I mean, it puts it back on their deck. Yeah. But it's not bad. Yeah, you know what? Maybe that's more reasonable than what we're seeing right now. I was also going to say, you know, it hits Enigmatic Incarnation.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's not
bad. It hits Fire's Invention. Both of those are very important spells to tempo. So maybe we need to be seeing this card more in tempoing lists. Mm-hmm. I've talked myself into this being a really good card right now.
I saw that.
I think it's not seeing as much play as it
instead
should.
Of Mystical Dispute, I saw, or Negate, I saw a lot of decks kind of playing Dovin's Veto now that can play, you know, like the Jeskai... you know, Fires deck, or even, you know, some of the, like the Niv decks and stuff like that. So how do you feel about Dovin's Veto in the sideboard?
I think I like Dovin's Veto more than I like Mystical Dispute. I feel like there's fewer counter wars, which is where Mystical Dispute really played at its best. Mm-hmm. And you'd rather just be sure to answer something and know that it's good, even into the late game.
Yeah, I'm surprised. You know, I wonder if Tail's End could be good in this format. What do you think?
I don't think so. Let me quick read it again.
It stops a trigger.
I remember this not being a good card.
Stops a trigger, counters a legendary spell, or there's one more effect.
Activated ability, yeah. Triggered ability, or legendary spell. Yeah, no, I'm not going to go
no?
for that. That's so narrow. what deck is that good against?
I mean, ETB effect it would counter, right?
Sure, but then you're... trading a card for an ETB effect,
or I mean, it could counter, you know, like I'm trying to say, it,
counter the lose 10 life from from activating Bullet Citadel.
Yeah,
I'll already lose anyways. Like, no, that sounds great to me.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Jeskai Allura, you know, they bring in their big 7 mana, whatever he was, a rogue. I forgot his name, but. Anyways,
that seems a little suspect. I feel like there's one more of those color hate cards that I'm not remembering. What is the other one that sees a lot of play? Red, no. Green's banned.
I can't think of anything else.
White, black. Yeah, you know, we would see the like what is the black one that makes them sacrifice a green or white creature? Sometimes that's kind of dropped off.
Yeah, the one from Dragons.
Yeah.
I think some people, some decks are still playing that.
Self-Inflicted Wound? That's
yeah,
the one.
Yeah.
Just because that one was always nice because it would hit the carry added.
Yeah. It's easy to get rid of them early on. What about Disruption? You know, we were talking about, you know, I think most decks are going to be playing Thoughtseize main if they're black, but some decks, you know, of course, like the five-color, four-color decks will probably still be playing in the sideboard, right?
I do think that there are some instances where it's still not wrong to have some duresses in your sideboard, because there are cases where you would bring out your thought seizes and wouldn't hurt to bring duress in. I'd like Despise early on, because the two big decks were Lurrus decks, where you would love to upgrade your thought seize into a Despise till hits Lurrus, or it was really good against the Mono Green Planeswalkers deck, which was huge right after the bans. That deck has gone down a lot. I think that drops off Despise's value quite a bit. Especially because the black decks that would be playing it are already running, you know, Fatal Push, Blood Chief's Thirst, and Thoughtseize, and those are all good cards in the matchup. So probably Despise is, you know, sell.
Yeah.
You know, it's not worth any money, but as far as stock marketing it, it's
Dress is better.
You're welcome to dump it.
Yeah. The other thing, we were talking a lot about a lot of artifacts, you know, for example, Gravedigger's Cage and Soul Guide Lantern. A Braid and K Command, are those worth sideboard slots?
You know, I think they're both decent cards. There's not a ton of decks that Abrade is a huge worry about. There's not a ton of, you know, there's not a lot of artifacts in the format that I'm specifically worried about. So I don't think that either of them has a huge role anywhere. And often the kind of decks that would be running it have some other ways to deal with it here or there.
Okay. I also have some other corner cases I wanted to pass by and get your opinion on. You know, of course, Mono...
Oh, that's fine. I got one of them.
What'd you say?
I was like, that's fine. I've got some of those, too.
Like, for example, Roiling Vortex is in Mono Red.
Yes. That still sees play, certainly. And I think that, you know, it's more awkward. You're not getting the Uro value off of it anymore. It is still nice against Fires and Bring to Light. So both of those decks, it has some reason to play there.
Yep, anything that didn't use mana for, it'll deal damage to. I think it also kind of is good against the Arcanist decks. Because...
Yes, so Arcanist, it's awkward. You know, if I'm playing Burn, am I bringing in a 2-mana, quote-unquote, do-nothing against a deck that has a lot more card advantage than me? You know, they're going to still win the long game.
Maybe not if you're playing Burn, but of another red deck, if you wanted to consider playing this, if you're another kind of...
Yeah, I guess it would depend on what kind of... You know, I'm not going to bring it in as Dragons against Pyromancer or anything like that.
Like, if you were, like, a black-red mid-range deck, maybe.
Maybe, yeah, that might be reasonable.
I mean, it's interesting. That 5 damage whenever, you know, mana is not used to cast a spell is very interesting, I think. Another card that I thought might be good is Containment Priest. As far as, like, a way to... I guess it stops Collected Company, but it doesn't really stop something like... like Arcanist bringing something back from the graveyard. Like, if you're an Arcanist deck.
Yeah. So there's not a ton that it's a little bit narrow. You know, it's definitely narrower than Cage or Weathered Runestone. And it can be killed, which those are more difficult to kill.
Yeah.
How do you feel about the War Ashiok right now? So that's a graveyard hate card, partially, but also it has the static that your opponent can't search their library. So they can't fetch, they can't Bring to Light, they can't Enigmatic Incarnation.
That's not bad, actually. I could see it as a one of, maybe.
Yeah, maybe reasonable.
You know, like instead of the Soul Guide Lantern as well, perhaps. You know, drop that for an Ashiok if you have blue or black.
I don't know what deck plays this, but I just have another, like, really random one, is that Redain has looked weirdly good.
What is that?
A couple times when I've played
it. The new one?
The god from, the white god from this set, just because, specifically against the Enigmatic Incarnation decks, I seem to play that every time I play a league, is that, you know, they're depending on landing a 4-mana spell is the entire way to play the game. And that makes them into 6-mana spells, which is just, you know, double time.
Yeah. If the meta shifts, I would definitely consider playing that. I've played against it in Historic. You know, I haven't really played too much Pioneer recently, but I do, you know, my dailies all the time, of course, on Arena. And it is a pain in the butt to play against if you're playing mid-range.
Yeah, it really depends on, you know, playing a deck that actually cares.
Right, one more card.
Playing a white deck that could play it. Yeah.
One more card that I thought maybe we should talk about for sideboarding is Unmoored Ego or Necromancia, like those kind of, you know, like a Surgical Extraction type cards. Should you be playing these
Definitely.
In sideboard?
I think that they're good. I think that they, well...
Like, is there a combo deck we really worry about?
There's not a lot of combo decks we're really worried about. I think that they're reasonable against, like, the Bring to Light Niv, Bring to Light Velki, and the Enigmatic decks, kind of those big, big mid-range decks. Mm-hmm. They're not perfect, though. You know, if you're trading that spell and you're not getting a card out of their hand, that's definitely awkward. I think that it's also hard to name against Niv to Light. You know, if you name Bring to Light, like, they've still got their whole deck. They just have to draw it. If you name Niv, like, they've still got Bring to Light, they'll just grab their sweeper and they'll grab, you know, Tulsimir or whatever else. So, like, definitely, I think it's awkward. I don't know if I like it in that matchup specifically. It's probably not terrible as a one of if you're going to show up against something that is just difficult to answer.
Yeah.
You know, it's a nice catch-all. Maybe it's not. So maybe play it if you're running into a league. Maybe you could cut it if you're trying to find a 15 sideboard slot and you're going into a tournament where you're mostly expecting to play against kind of the known top meta decks.
Yeah, I mean, those types of cards are always better, I think, when the meta has settled and you know exactly what cards are most important from each deck. Mm-hmm. So to wrap this up, I mean, unless you had some more you want to talk about, should we just kind of talk about, like, in general, what should people be doing, you know, when they face these types of decks? For example, just kind of like to review it, you know, if you're playing against aggro, you need to have cards, you need to have fast removal and board wipes.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know, what else could we say, like, about the meta?
Yeah, right, and I think more than that, it's the early interaction. Yeah. You know, don't lose tempo against the aggressive decks, because they are all kind of tempo-ish.
I would say, you know, what we just talked about, a way to stop graveyard shenanigans, also very important.
Yeah, and don't focus just on graveyard decks, because there are also sacrifice decks. Okay, both great points.
I have a few more, unless you have some.
Yeah, no, keep going. I like these kind of summaries at the end.
Think having exile effects for reoccurring threats, you know, like they had the Chain to the Rocks or Declaration Stone Legions, and I think those are important as well.
Absolutely. You know, Skyclave, also a good card
right now. Okay. And I would say you need a way to stop things from entering from the yard or graveyard. Sorry, the graveyard or library.
Library, yeah. Yeah, that's not bad.
So Craftigger's Cage, especially important, I think, in this meta.
Do you have any suggestions if you are one of those decks on how to beat the same kind of deck? You know, maybe we need to bring on someone like Claudio and say, hey, what's the play for the meta?
Yeah.
Somehow I always face it. But we're probably overselling that deck just because I've been seeing it more than
that's something
more than is reasonable.
That's something we haven't really focused on.
Shout out to that guy with the dinosaur.
Mid-range gem deck.
Never mind. Keep going.
So I think we need some enchantment hate as well. I would recommend having something to get rid of enchantments. It seems like, you know, with Enigmatic, you know, Incarnation and, you know, Fires and a lot of other, there's really good enchantments in the format right now that you need to worry about.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. I like things like Binding the Old God if you can afford it. Not Dromoka's Command, probably, because those decks are intentionally running fodder enchantments. Yeah.
And, of course, I think...
So, like, Knight of Autumn's a good one.
Yeah, in those colors. Definitely. And I think another, maybe one more that I would say is you want more counters and disruption for control and combo matchups. So, like we said, you know, if you're playing... You know, against like the Niv-Mizzet deck, they, or like any other combo deck, you know, stopping their combo piece is very important.
Yeah, I would say that definitely with those decks, disrupting them is much better than answering their big threats. So something like a way to kill a 5-mana planeswalker is much worse than a way to counter a 5-mana planeswalker.
Yeah, the Disdainful Stroke, like we said, I think is really going to gain in value over the next.
Aether Gust.
Nice. Some tempo cards and stuff. That's about all I could say. I don't think we really need to worry about gaining life. What do you think?
I think that if you've got it, it's nice, but I wouldn't be focusing on it. There's not like decks that are just going to do you a set amount of damage, and if you gain life, you win.
I mean, I think there's a lot of incidental life gain anyways in a lot of these sideboards like Calatis, so...
Yeah, but Burn is on a little bit of a downtick. It's not like if you're playing a deck that has no life gain, you'll never go long against those, which used to be the case in some.
Card advantage always better, probably, if you're building
stuff. I mean, that's the way of life for blue players. Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying in general. I would say in the format overall, you need a way to gain card advantage, no matter what color you're in.
Yeah, that's nice. All right, you want to wrap it up there? I think that was a good, you know, we're 50-something minutes in. So, guys, if you enjoyed this kind of episode, if you'd like to stay up to date with what is going on Pioneer, this is the best place to get it. We are the one and only podcast 100% about Pioneer content, on topic 100% of the time, except for when we're not.
Yes.
And the best way to follow us is by following our Twitter at MTG Pioneer. You can also find the Pioneer MTG Reddit. You can find links to our Discord. A lot of ways to go out and contact us to, you know, just stay up to date with what's going on. And Ryan?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good point that I just want to kind of push through is that we only talk about Pioneer. If you just want Pioneer news, just want Pioneer information, just want to hear about Pioneer, please share us, you know, with your friends, tell your family, tell your dog, everybody. You know,
yeah, maybe historic every once in a while, or like we'll bring up other topics.
But like 95% Pioneer. we talk about.
Yeah.
Easily. And you guys can find me on Twitter at Yoschwenky, Yoschwenky. And of course, join us in the Discord. We got this idea from one of our newest members. I believe it was Quincy that kind of suggested this. So, yeah.
Shout out to him for also telling me that I'm omnipotent or whatever. Yeah. Omniscient.
Yeah. So, yeah. Looking forward to hearing from more of you on the Discord channel in the future. Come on in. Join the discussion.
All right, so that's going to bring us into our show. Thank you guys so much for listening. We are the First Pioneers Podcast, and we are your go-to source for Pioneer information online. Signing off!